Diego coming up here in a little bit. So on Sunday afternoon, I was driving to Torero Stadium. Loyal hosting, who did we play this past weekend? Why am I drawing a blank on that already? New Mexico United, of course. And as I'm driving to Torero Stadium, I was listening. We carry Charger games on one of these stations. I think we carry them on Kogo. So I was listening to Kogo, and I was listening, and it was right at the end of the game. There were a couple of NFL games. You're like, wow, that's going to be a really, really good game. One of them was Arizona-Cleveland, not a good game. The other one would have been the Chargers and Baltimore. Not a good game, depending on how you root, obviously, 34-6. And I was listening right at the end of the broadcast. DJ Daniel Jeremiah was talking to the play-by-play voice for the Chargers, Matt Money Smith, and they were going over the box score. And I thought they made an interesting point that you look at the two quarterbacks, Justin Herbert, whose team scored 6 points in this game, had a quarterback rating of 67.8. Lamar Jackson, whose team scored 34 points, had a quarterback rating of 68. And the two of them had a very funny moment. They're like, not even going to get into it. Don't even want to try to explain what quarterback rating is and how it is viewed that Lamar Jackson and Justin Herbert had pretty much the same game. So I got a chuckle out of that as I was driving to Torero Stadium. Daniel Jeremiah, I just wanted you to know that. You made me laugh on Sunday.
Well, that's what you aim for, Darren. When you get your when the team you're calling the games for gets their teeth kicked in, if we can elicit a little laughter, that's a win. I thought you were going to say, I think it was probably right after that, or maybe it was right before it, but Money kind of went over the whole game. It was his first thing he said after the game. He went over kind of what he saw, da 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 da. DJ, your thoughts? My first thing I said was, you know, this is going to be a big game today. What time does it start? And that was a butt kicking in that one. The Ravens jumped on the Chargers early, and it was over.
It's interesting because, yeah, through the benefit of hindsight, DJ, which is a rather significant percentage of our businesses, right? People after the fact said, yeah, I always felt like this was a bad matchup for the Chargers and on and on and on. And I said, well, I didn't hear a lot of that during the week. Now, maybe I missed it. But that seemed like the kind of thing that lots of people claimed after the fact, that it just felt like it wasn't a great matchup for the defense or for the offense against Baltimore.
Yeah, look, I thought there was a chance, and maybe a good chance, that the Ravens would run the ball really well. You saw that the Cowboys run the ball really well against the Chargers. You saw what the Cleveland Browns did in putting up 42 points the week before, running it down our throats. So, yeah, I thought, minus a couple linebackers, minus a D tackle and not playing the run very well, the Ravens will run for some yards. But I did not think in a million years that the Chargers would only score 6 points. I mean, that to me was the story of the whole game. Ravens defense that really has one quality corner in Marlon Humphrey right now. And due to injuries to Marcus Peters and others, they're just not very good in that secondary. And they played really, really well. And I would think Herbert would probably even admit it wasn't, it's probably his worst game that he's played as a pro. He just was a little bit off.
Yeah, the Baltimore team is interesting, isn't it? And to what extent teams inside of their own divisions set their defenses up for the teams that they're trying to take down, right? Like Kansas City.
Yeah.
What Baltimore can do to you is very intriguing, especially given their injuries. And it's not like they haven't been good before. I don't mean to make it sound, DJ, like this is some great revelation. That's a Super Bowl winning coach there. You know the organization very well, but they're very versatile in what they can do. If you're set up to stop the pass, they can run it down your throat. If you're set up to stop the run, they can throw a little bit too. They got a lot to like there.
Yeah, I got to think of the analogy. Maybe you can workshop this and come up with something for me. But when I was talking with Bucky today on the podcast, we were talking about the different styles in the AFC, particularly because if you've got Tennessee, Baltimore. And then I would say Cleveland, if they can get healthy and get everybody in, those are punch you in the mouth, rushing attacks. And then you have the high flying Kansas City's, Buffalo's, Chargers, that group. And so I don't know, is it like the Air Force versus the Army? I don't know. So there's just totally, totally different styles of how those teams play.
And how much of that is just based on the unique personalities of the teams, of the coaches that coach those teams? How much of that is in response to the way the league has trended, especially in the AFC?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the AFC has got these just powerhouse young quarterbacks, and I think these teams have done a nice job of building around them. Now I'll put Tannehill and Baker in that category, but when you look at Buffalo, what they've done around Josh Allen, Kansas City with Mahomes, we're seeing it with the Chargers with Herbert, and Lamar Jackson, the way they've put added to that receiving core, the tight end's really good. And then, they have that added element with the rushing attack. But I think these organizations that have been, you know, put in positions to have these premier quarterbacks have now had a couple years to kind of fill in the team around them. And then they all have a very distinct identity.
Yeah, right. I'm with you, too. And if you were having a draft, you know, we always think with Daniel Jeremiah, we talk about the NFL draft all the time. But if you were having a coach's draft, it wouldn't take you long to get to John Harbaugh, would it?
No, he's so consistent. He's so tough. I mean, one of the things that's fascinating is, you know, you go out to training camp and a lot of the teams now, you know, they're efficient. They want to get on and off the grass as fast as possible. When you go to Baltimore, it's like a marathon, man. They stay out there, they're in full pads and they hit and it is physical. And I think some of it's quite honestly led to the attrition they've had over the last couple of years with the injuries. They had a bunch of training camp injuries again this year, but they emerge with who they emerge with and they are all battle tested and tough and physical. And I think you got to give Harbaugh credit for that. That's the mindset and the mentality and the culture that he's, you know, helped create there.
Daniel Jeremiah joining us on Extra 1360, Move the Sticks podcast, Move the Sticks, The Empire. See DJ coming up here. You got Thursday night Twitch again, Thursday Night Football?
Yep. Okay. Yeah, that is. Yeah, just go twitch.tv/movethesticks. You can hang out with us, with me, Bucky, and Joy, and watch the Thursday Nighter, which is going to be fascinating. I don't know if you want to play. You want to play for the Browns this week, Darren? I think they've got plenty of openings.
Yes, they do, huh? Boy, banged up at the running back position. Their quarterback, who was in a sling just 48 hours ago, is going to make a run at it as well. Yeah, it certainly seems like their number has been called with the injury bug.
Oh, it's brutal. I mean, I think, you know, Odell got nicked up. Jarvis Landry has not been playing. Neither of their starting offensive tackles played in that game the other day. So, they are missing all kinds of guys. They're one of those teams where it's just, I think the rest of the AFC would love it if they could just miss the playoffs, because that's one of those groups. If they get all healthy and they get a little bit hot at the end of the year, that'd be a really, really tough matchup with their pass rush and all the different players they have.
Yeah, good call. So what you're saying is the rest of the AFC this weekend will be pulling hard Thursday night for Denver.
I think that's a safe assessment. Yes.
By the way, nice call. You called the Raiders when we had you on last week when we were talking about the aftermath of what went on with John Gruden. You said you liked the Raiders that week. I don't know how much of it was based on circumstance, how much of it was based on personnel, but nice call out of you.
Well, it was just based off of just, you know, usually when you have stuff like this, the team kind of really does rally together. And they had such an emotional letdown stinker game the week before. You figure that this was going to be one where they got back together, and under Rich Bisaccia, they did and had a good game. But I don't think I want to talk about predictions, because I was alerted by several Arizona Cardinal fans that allegedly I've picked them to lose all six games this year. And they are the only undefeated team in the NFL. I was not aware that I was such a Cardinal hater. But I thought about it this week. I think, you know what, it's kind of a joke. I was thinking about just picking them to win 50-0. And then I figured what'll happen is then the opposing team, wherever they play, will be all over me. So there's no winning there.
Yeah, right. And then that'll be the week that Arizona loses, by the way, as well. Yeah, of course. There are certain teams you just can't get it right, no matter what you do. You pick them to win, they lose. You pick them to lose, they win. There's just certain teams that always happens to. I just want to go back to the Raiders for a second. Only because, again, maybe I've seen the light a lot this week. But you know, I thought Derek Carr, at a time where there seemed to be quite the leadership void in that organization, DJ, from the top on down, I don't know that I've ever been his biggest fan. I don't know that I've ever been his biggest detractor. And frankly, it doesn't matter what I think about Derek Carr. But I thought he really stepped up this week. At a time where you can imagine players were being sent home, who knew what the heck was going on? I got to give him a lot of credit, because when they needed somebody to get out there and speak as to this mess in Vegas, he did it.
Yeah, and I think in some ways, I know John Gruden is a really bright offensive mind, and Derek Carr has played some really good football with John. But I think in some ways, this is the first time this is really Derek Carr's team. You know, and I know, I'm sure he didn't want it to come like this, but when you mentioned the Raiders previously, the face of the Raiders is the coach, is John Gruden. That's the Raiders. Now that is Derek Carr's position of leadership. It's his team. He's the face of the team, whatever cliche you want to use. But I thought in that first game where he is truly under the spotlight and he is everything, he delivered and played really, really well. So I'm with you. There's been moments where I don't know that his performance has always quite matched the moment in some key times during his time there with the Raiders. But I thought this was a big moment, and I thought he was way impressive.
You brought up Arizona. Interesting Thursday night. We watched the Eagles play, and then the next day, by the time I woke up, DJ, Zach Ertz had been traded to the Arizona Cardinals. What do you think about that, both sides of that? And, of course, obviously the timing would be a question as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think some people are like, why are the Eagles punting on the season? I would say to that is they've got a tight end, Dallas Goedert, who's really, really talented. He's, you know, after this season, I think he's up. He'll end up being, I would say, probably top three or four paid tight end in the NFL in this offseason. He's going to get gobs of money. He's really, really good. So they have some depth of the position. This was going to be the last year for Ertz there. So they decided to get what they could get now as opposed to waiting for a comp pick and just free up all that playing time for Goddard. So that's why they did it. And then from, you know, the standpoint of Arizona, it's another just way to load up. They've really added some key veteran guys. And when you look at J.J. Watt and A.J. Green coming in to a very talented, veteran-laden group, and now you bring in another guy who also happens to have some big-time postseason experience, including, you know, being a key member, helped the Eagles win a Super Bowl. So I think it makes sense for both sides when you really look at it.
We were talking a little bit earlier, and we've talked to you about the decision-making for Brandon Staley to go for it on fourth down as often as he did. You know, even this past weekend, what was it? What were they, on the 19-yard line? Like on their own 19-yard line, they went for it on fourth. You don't see that every week, even given the game circumstances. But for you, DJ, you know, last night, Monday Night Football, some of the stuff that you've seen so far this year, is a good decision one decision that works, or is a good decision, you know, can you justify a decision even if it doesn't work? You know, I realize that, like,
yeah,
I'm giving you, like, binary options here. But for a lot of people, the only good decisions are the ones that work, right? Scoreboard, baby. But yeah, from where you sit, or you know, how often is a good decision even if it doesn't work?
Yeah, I just look at the process. You know, like, that's what was the process behind the decision? What was the thought process? And is that logical, and does that make the most sense? That's how I judge whether it was a good decision or not. And I saw, you know, Staley, I saw the good side of it 1 week, and then I saw the downside of it this last week. But I thought the process was right in how he got to all those decisions. And, you know, they gave up 3 points each time. They went for it twice, I think, inside their own 30 this last week. And they didn't get either one, and the defense came out and held them to three. But I thought that was the risk you had to take because your offense couldn't get anything going. And you needed something to try and, you know, give yourself an extra chance. And that's what that fourth down does. So I know people look at results and judge decisions based off the results, but I go back to the process. And I thought in that game, it was a Chargers team that couldn't get the ball past midfield against their defense. So, they were trying to give themselves a little extra chance.
I feel like we are evolving on this, too, because I've seen more people compliment Sean McDermott for the decision-making last night in Tennessee than knock him for it. As a matter of fact, I haven't seen anybody knock him for it.
I have. I think Lewis Riddick said something after the game and said he would have kicked it, which, you know, that's, I don't know, that's criticism. I'm just saying what he would have done in that situation. I 100% agreed with the decision. You got a chance to end the game with the ball in your best player's hands. You end the game. You don't leave it up to chance with a coin toss and Derrick Henry breaking a tackle, and all of a sudden the game's over. So I always want to go down swinging with your best player having the ball in his hands, and that's what they did. Unfortunately, Josh Allen probably had half-inch cleats on, and he needed three-quarter-inch cleats on. He just needed to get his cleats in the ground and not lose his footing.
Yeah, that's what happened, right? He slipped a little bit. Does it matter home, road, some of those variables that we talk about?
I don't know. You know, one of the interesting nuggets, I don't know if you've seen this year, is I think that the road teams are over 500 this year.
Oh, really?
In the NFL. Yeah, and I think that's been trending that way for the last couple of years, where there really is the elimination of the home field advantage, you know, from what we've seen traditionally. So, yeah, I think that might be antiquated. You know, hey, this is what you do on the road. You try and get the win. If you're at home, you play for overtime. Like, I don't know, I think that might be a little old school, a little antiquated way of looking at it.
Well, all right, I am with you, not trying to punch holes in your theory. But let's see what happens in the late October, November, right, when the weather starts changing in certain places too. Maybe that changes things up a little bit.
No, yeah, man, that's a great point. And you get teams that are very comfortable in those environments. I always would laugh about it a little bit, though. You know, the teams that I was with, you know, it's Baltimore. You know, we are cold weather. We are tough. We are rugged. Let's get the teams in the snow so that our left tackle from UCLA and our quarterback from Cal can show these guys what it's really all about.
Hey, you got a bye week this week. What are you doing on Sunday?
I'll go to church and then come back and probably flip on the red zone a little bit and do that. Hopefully the weather's nice. Maybe get a little maybe heat up the pool a little bit and get a little sunshine. Who knows?
Look at you, the red zone. Now Marty, I think, is going to think less of you because she's not a fan of the Red Zone channel.
Well, I you know, only get a chance to watch it one day a year. So, and I don't even know which one I have. You know, I'm buddies with Andrew and with Scott, so I don't even know which one which version that I get. So,
well, which one do you want?
Maybe I'll
just amongst us. Who do you prefer?
We'll figure it out. I don't know that I've seen Andrew a bunch. I don't know that I've seen Scott. You know, obviously he does it out of the network, so I've seen him on Sundays when I would pop in there, but I don't know if I've ever seen his version. So,
are you familiar with the Witching Hour? Do you know what the Witching Hour is? That's the Scott Hanson
Hour. I just via his social media, but I'm not even aware of what exactly it means.
Oh, dude, it's a whole production. I mean, they lay it on thick. Like, hey, they've got graphics and sound effects, and Scott really gets into character when it's the Witching Hour.
Oh, that's great. I know all those guys that, you know, the guys that produce that show produce the Senior Bowl with us and do some work with us on Path to the Draft. So I know all those guys real well. It's a fun group. I would imagine that's an exhausting Sunday afternoon for everybody, but pretty cool.
It is very cool. By the way, it's also kind of you to pay for the Red Zone channel, even though you'd normally work on Sundays.
Well, the kids got to have something to watch. Come on, man.
You don't want to go watch the Lions and the Rams?
Wow. Geez, that's tempting. But I think I'll sit that one out and wait for the tape on Monday morning. But by the way, Darren, I've got to ask you this because I think we're of a similar age. I think you're a little bit younger than I am.
A little older.
But we just had... No.
Yeah, how old are you?
43.
Oh, dude, I'm way older than you. I'm 40, just turned 49.
Oh, you don't look a day over 42. So we had my son's 18th birthday, my second child's 18th birthday. So we were talking about how old we felt. And I was talking about how I remember my dad got a car phone. Like, that was a big deal, man. I'm trying to get other people in our age group to sympathize with those feeling old days.
The car phone. Yeah. Well, that's like very famous hacksaw phone calls. Like
on a car phone.
On a car phone. Somebody's in a car phone. Right. Yeah. We remember all those calls as well. So yeah, I remember that was a big deal.
Oh, yeah, and then my dad would spill coffee on it. So then it was stuck in the cradle and you couldn't pull it out. So yeah,
you're styling if you were driving around with the car phone with that big cord wrapped up and the little antenna.
Oh, yeah. Yep, and the conversion van, and then the cord would get all tangled up, so you'd try and pull it up, and you couldn't get it up to your ear. That's when you know we're old, buddy. Who's getting the Padre job, by the way, before you get me out of here?
Who do you want? We got a pool going here. We can put your name on a piece of paper, seal it in an envelope. Actually, why don't we do that? We'll do that off the air, so then we'll open it up. It'll be a surprise to anybody. I have no idea. I have no idea. It's a huge mystery. It's not going to be Aaron Boone, though.
Okay. Can I get my guess then? Can I give it on the air?
Yeah, sure.
Has anybody taken Venable yet?
No. Well, I don't know that because we got a bunch of names on a piece of paper in sealed envelopes.
So then I won't use Venable because I'll keep it sealed. So I got another option, but that was my top of head option right there.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll text you afterwards. We'll put it down. It'll just be between us. If you want to stick with Venable, great. If not, then we'll keep it a mystery for later in the year.
You're the best.
Dude, you're the best. Thank you.
All right, go Braves.
Yes, indeed. Go Braves. Thank you very much. Everybody, Daniel Jeremiah, the NFL Network. Move the Sticks podcast. We'll find out who his pick is in here a little bit. I like it, though. I like it, I got to admit. I don't know if anybody else has written that down. He might corner that market.
That's the name that I've discussed previously just because of the experience he's gotten, first base. Very, very smart. Very smart player. He was previously, first base coach with the Cubs, and now he is the bench coach for the Red Sox, working under a very good manager at Alex Cora. So he's been around.
Very good manager.
Yeah.
So another first-time guy, huh?
The guy, actually, but people have heard of Will Venable. I mean, players
actually. He
had a playing career.
And I would remind everybody also, not that I'm campaigning for a first-time guy. I will tell you, the name that I've written down is not a first-time guy.
Huh?
It's not a first-time guy. But a first-time guy did win the World Series 2 years ago in Washington. So, just saying.
Not in the first year, though.
I think it was his first year, wasn't it?
Davey Martinez?
Wasn't it?
I don't think so. 2019?
I'll double check that.
Maybe he was. I don't know.
Coming up, Marty's notes. Yeah. Even though DJ just used the other N-word, nuggets. Marty's notes. NFL notes. Got to work on
only.
Steve Harbin here. Coming up on the Extra Morning Show, we get ready for week 7 of the NFL. What is the latest with the Raiders coming off a big win minus John Gruden? Costa will join us. We get started at 6 on Extra 1360.
619 number. Wait, why isn't it called Marty's Nuggets anymore? I missed out. Marty?
I don't know. It kind of irks me sometimes.
Do I need to change our imaging for this segment?
What irks you?
Just like, I don't know, just the tone of Marty's Nuggets. That's all.
What tone is that?
You know what tone it is.
I really don't.
Really?
I don't.
Okay.
Crapped ribs.
Yeah.
Sorry, I forgot the show at such high standards.
It's all of that.
Very highbrow.
Yeah. Anyways.
All right. Text us 70470. First word of the text, XTRA. Before we get to Marty's notes.
Why did he see you? You make it so awkward. Really, Marty's notes. It was like a 10-second pause.
We have a pair of tickets to the Great Pumpkin Beer Festival. 40 pumpkin-themed brews, live entertainment, costume contest, tapping of the 1,300-pound pumpkin keg.
I've never had a pumpkin beer.
Say that time 10 times fast.
I know.
Tapping of the 1,300-pound pumpkin keg. Did you have to read this yesterday?
I did not.
Okay. Rich did all the reads yesterday, I noticed.
He did.
Saturday, October 30th, you can get tickets now at Great Pumpkin Beer Fest, SD.com. Keep listening for your chance to win throughout the week. But right now, 844-570-1360, you get a pair of tickets. Jim?
Pumpkin beer.
Darren?
Stop. Clear the lines. Let everybody streaming via the iHeartRadio app give them a chance. Let's give everybody a fair shake. For the Great Pumpkin Beer Festival. Maybe we should send some pumpkin beer to Brinson.
That's a good idea. I'm somewhat intrigued on that. I guess I imagine it's clearly a very seasonal beer. I've never had a pumpkin beer. Is it hazy? Is it sweet? No, I'm kind of intrigued by it.
All right. Can anybody help Marty out?
I will find a place. I'm going to find
it. How about a pumpkin coffee? Isn't it pumpkin season? And a lot of...
pumpkin spice everywhere.
Coffee roasters. Pumpkin spice?
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Candles?
Pumpkin candles?
Yeah, sure.
Never heard of them.
Everything you could put pumpkin in.
Just for October, though.
Just for October.
It's a Halloween thing, right? Pumpkin?
Yeah, it's like the seasonal thing. Yeah,
then it goes on sale in November.
Well, there you go. All right, let's get to Marty's notes.
Okay.
1, 2, 3! It's time for Marty's NFL Nuggets.
Notes.
Brought to you by Hamul Casino, San Diego's closest casino. Real close, real friendly, and real fun. Hamul Casino, 94 DeCampo Road.
That's your cue.
Oh, that's me. All right, well, let's start with the Baltimore Ravens. They officially announced that actually Ronnie Stanley, the left tackle, announced today on social media that he is going to have a season-ending ankle surgery. The Ravens have now promoted Le'Veon Bell. I forgot he was still part of the team, but they have promoted him from the practice squad to their active roster. So Le'Veon Bell is now on the Ravens' active roster.
He just scored last week, didn't he?
No.
I think he scored this past weekend.
He couldn't have. They just added him to the practice squad from the practice to the active roster from the practice squad.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Yeah.
He scored last week.
Yeah. He had 8 rushes for 18 yards and a touchdown.
Okay, well that's interesting. Did they demote him and then promote him? I don't know.
Maybe there's a second Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, I would hope not. Okay, you know what? Scratch that note, and we'll move on to the next one. All right, I think this
that
will,
note come from a time capsule.
Apparently, and so is Le'Veon Bell. This note came to you from 2017 when Le'Veon Bell was a bit more relevant. The game that I'm looking forward to. I mean, hopefully it's a good game. It seems like it's a do or die game, maybe more so for the Broncos and the Browns. But Nick Chubb is officially out for Thursday Night Football. Baker Mayfield was officially limited today. Said he expects to play on Thursday. Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham could possibly play on Thursday, according to Kevin Stefanski. Kareem Hunt placed on IR, so he will miss at least three games. For the Broncos, Teddy Bridgewater was limited yesterday with his foot injury, but he is expected to be good to go.
What is our worst-case scenario for Thursday night if both teams have to play backup quarterbacks? I know it looks like Bridgewater and Baker Mayfield, but what is the worst-case scenario here? Drew Locke and who?
I'm sure it's behind Baker. I don't know. Not sure, but I think the Broncos, you need this in the AFC, in the AFC West to keep up with the first place Raiders and the Chargers. And I know people keep talking about how much talent the Browns have. It's remarkable they've been this bad. They're only 3-3. They're just a pedestrian 3-3, but they have been hit by injuries pretty hard. Mike Vrabel from last night's game, Mike Vrabel says that Taylor Lewan, who is carted off the field, is in concussion protocol. Rookie cornerback Caleb Farley tore his ACL. Julio Jones, who just returned after dealing with a hamstring injury, re-aggravated. He is now day-to-day. A Bills tight end, Dustin Knox, who threw a touchdown to Josh Allen, broke a bone in his hand before the game last night, and he was still able to go ahead and play. Forrest Lamp, remember that name?
I know
our last guest, Daniel Jeremiah, was very high on him a few years ago before a series of catastrophic injuries, but he is now signed on with the Saints practice squad. The Jags have released Josh Lambo. So the Josh Lambo era comes to an end in Jacksonville. And the Colts have put, wide receiver Paris Campbell on IR, released backup quarterback Jacob Eason, added Michael Badgley to their active roster, and they have activated Sam Ellinger off IR.
Quarterback.
Ellinger off IR. Yes, quarterback.
Hook him.
So he replaces Jacob Eason, who then backs up. Carson Wentz, who looked pretty good.
He did look good.
He looked good.
Now, they've got to travel this week. They are on the road this week against Jim San Francisco 49ers coming off a bye. Mm. Coming off a bye week.
Do we have numbers on Kyle Shanahan coming off a bye week like we do with Andy Reid?
I'm unaware of them.
Okay.
Jim, maybe by tomorrow. Jim's Nuggets.
Notes.
No, you can go Nuggets.
I can go Nuggets. Jim's Nuggets, Marty's
Notes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so make sure that if the voice guy does it, we have to have him do like a 10-second pause the way Darren does.
Hmm. Notes.
I dare DJ, by the way, to pick against the Cardinals this week. They're playing the Texans.
Oh, come on.
How could you do that?
Because he's done it every single week so far.
It's a pop. Yeah. You can't do that. You just
can.
Yeah, I guess you can.
You can do that. Is that it?
That's it,
that's
Darren.
A wrap?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a Tuesday. It's an off day.
It's Tuesday.
For most of these teams in the NFL.
Yes. Tomorrow we will have a lot more on the 49ers and whether or not Trey Lance returns to practice, even though he didn't yesterday, and Jimmy Garoppolo was out there.
Jamie Garoppolo? I like that. That sounds better.
Did I say Jamie?
Coming up, your text, 70470, first word of the text, XTRA. We have a 4-pack of tickets to go see the Gulls. Their home opener coming up Friday night. $2 beers at Pechanga Arena.
Are you sure on Le'Veon Bell?
I'm looking at the box score.
All my notes are saying they sign him to their 53-man roster.
I'm looking at the box score. The Ravens beat the Chargers 34-6.
Uh-huh.
Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert were the quarterbacks, right? Devontae Freeman, Lamar Jackson, Latavius Murray, Le'Veon Bell. I mean, if you listened to the show, you would have heard this several times yesterday because I know I talked about it with Will Brinson. Where do they dig up these three guys who would have been part of somebody's fantasy team 3-4 years ago to score? So you're telling on yourself that you don't actually listen to the show.
I listen sometimes. Perhaps I was working on my notes during that time and I missed it.
A likely story. Text coming up next. I mean, I'm not making. You can watch.
No, he
can
did.
Look.
No,
it's
he
right
did,
here on ESPN.com.
I just so he played in the game, and then they released him. And then they released him again to the promoted him to the practice squad, and then they brought him back up.
He scored a touchdown.
I know. I see that. But then how did they just re-sign him to their active roster? Forget it. You know what?
It's the Ravens. Who knows?
Doesn't matter.
Job. Terms and conditions apply.
Let the questions fly.
Is that a serious question?
Time to.
Next question.
Ask Darren.
Such a lame question.
Text us at 70470.
Well, if you thought Marty's Nuggets was bad, wait till we get to the texts. 70470, first word of the text, XDRA. I don't even know that we're going to have a text contest today. Can't read most of this. iHeart, the number one choice for music, radio, and podcasts all in one. Nobody makes it easier to hear everything you love in one free app. Jim, you read these today.
Me?
858, hey Darren, I think Lucas Johnson has to start, followed by Will Haskell backing him up. Make Brookshire third on the depth chart. He seems like a great kid, but he wouldn't hit water if he threw a pass off of a boat. Go Aztecs. Well, funny you text that in at 12:13 this afternoon, because that's exactly the way Brady Hoke announced his quarterbacks would enter the game against Air Force upcoming this week. Lucas Johnson, number one. Haskell, number two. Jordan Brookshire is third on the depth chart. That was announced today by the coaching staff. I don't know if that's Brady Hoke who texted us. I'm guessing it probably wasn't. 619, Lakers tonight. Jim and Rich's Laker wrap-up show. Just saying.
No, first of all, I hate the Lakers. So I'm not doing a Lakers wrap-up show.
Are you sure?
Look what I'm wearing, bro.
Okay, bro. Wearing a Klay Thompson jersey, bro. The Lakers rolling out the rec league squad tonight. Bunch of 37-year-old men.
It's the AARP league.
858. I know exit stage left is a term to describe orderly departure. Also a really good Rush album. But my mind went directly to Snagglepuss.
What?
Exit stage right. 714 number. Here's a good faith question for Scott Lewis. As an unbiased journalist, can you understand the hesitation and concern from parents about mandating an unnecessary vaccine that has proven to cause myocarditis amongst boys especially? And there's like seven more of these. 619, hey Darren, can you let us know ahead of time when you start the show when you're going to talk about soccer so I could possibly change the baby's diaper or something? Thank you. I don't know, 619 number. Maybe it's not the show for you. 760 number. A bigger mystery is what happened to the Padres in the second half of the season. Bigger mystery than Dave Cameron. Although maybe those two things are linked, just saying. Or Mike D. And I also don't know that it's that big of a mystery what happened in the second half of the season. It played out right in front of us. Mm-hmm. 619. Are the playoffs for San Diego Loyal single elimination? This year they are still impacted by regional COVID guidelines. Yes, they will be single elimination. They're not playing home and away here.
Maybe the texture on changing the diaper when you talk soccer was a compliment, because maybe that really helps him focus. Mm. Like he wants to really go ahead and concentrate and not worry about what's in the diaper. So maybe that was actually the highest compliment he could pay you.
All right.
Yeah.
Good thought. Yeah. Hadn't considered that. Mm-hmm. 619, it's 11 p.m. You have a couple of bucks in the center console. Do you stop and get Taco Bell tacos or Jack in the Box tacos? Now, that's a great question.
11 p.m.
Personally speaking, I would tell you, I don't know that I would choose either one of those with so many great local taco
but
shops.
But that wasn't the question. That wasn't
but that's
the
not
question.
The question.
No. You're in a place where you don't have the great local taco shops.
I'd go Jack in the Box.
You would. Yeah. Have you ever had their tacos?
No.
They're really good. The hot sauce. The hot sauce is what makes the taco.
I'm disgusted.
No, it's really good. You gotta try it.
I have tried it, and they don't even compare to Taco Bell tacos.
I've never had those either.
You go with the crispy Taco Bell tacos or the soft tacos?
I go with the chalupa. Hello.
Yes, very traditional Mexican fare. The chalupa. I know every time I go to Mexico, I can't wait to go have an authentic chalupa.
Exactly.
What an insult to Mexicans.
What?
I know, but they asked a question. Is Taco Bell or Jack in the Box.
All right, so you go Taco Bell. I would go Jack, but I have no real experience in either one of these.
The next time you go to your favorite Mexican place, I need it on video, but I am daring you to order a chalupa.
It's like when I went to Italy and I asked for the pizza nachos, but they serve at Olive Garden.
Right. You're like, excuse me?
Please. Oh, yeah. Come in. Abuela. She's making it in the background.
Darren, the pizza nachos are only in select locations.
So we have two votes for Jack in the Box, one vote for Taco Bell, and Jim's now disgusted.
Oh, man.
858, if you guys were the GM of the Philadelphia 76ers, what would you do with Ben Simmons?
Launch him to this out of this universe.
I would have traded him already. What can you do now?
Like, I would send him to the worst team in the NBA.
And what are you getting from the worst team in the NBA?
I don't even care.
You're not getting anything.
I know.
So who are you punishing?
Who's the worst team in the NBA? Cleveland? Go to Cleveland?
Go to Cleveland,
that's good. I like that. I like that. Yeah.
But I do think that they botched this a little bit.
Yeah. Should have traded him for
It's the
nothing.
Day of the season. He's not practicing and they just suspended him. Seems kind of messy there.
But the good thing is that Philly fans are forgiving. So when he does return, it'll be...
they'll understand. Arms. They'll understand.
Yeah. 619 number. Even though he works for that NFL team, Daniel Jeremiah is a great guest. 619, Brian, he did text me, by the way. I'm not going to tell you who he texted, but...
But he told us in the air. You can't... Whatever.
And you think that that's who he's going with?
Yes, I like that pick.
May have been a red herring. Just saying.
Wow.
619, Brian Dozier is apparently looking to be a manager, maybe? I'm just kidding. It's Will Venable. 858, Darren, are you more disappointed in Marty changing the segment to Marty's notes or watching Lionel Messi score yet another Champions League goal? I'm over the Messi stuff. I got other things I got to worry about. I don't have time in my life to sit around and worry about Lionel Messi score. 619, would Marty... See, now here we're going to go into this.
Here we go. Like 12 texts here all about... Names.
It's just body parts. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's just a bunch of body parts.
Things that come out of you.
Jim's jugs.
Huh?
What?
Yeah, it just, you know, I can't read them. I can, I guess. Jim, what should I do?
Don't read them.
Don't read them. Skip over them.
Would Marty be okay if the name of her segment was Marty's NFL Nuggets? Kind of got used to Nuggets being part of the NFL report. That's a clean one. 858, hey, Marty, how about Marty Smarties? 858, would Marty's morsels not occur? D. Smith Show changing Marty's nuggets to Marty's notes is like the Padres going from a first-year manager to another first-year manager. Oh, wait. Come on, Marty. Really? Shout out to the UPS not boy band. May I suggest a new name, says the 619 number? Marty's Nuggety Notes. You guys are killing me. I can't read this one from the 619 number. I can't read that. Here, you tell me. Give me permission to read this and I'll read it on the air. But you have to give me the permission, not Jim.
No? Okay. Out of your mind. Absolutely not.
760 number. Being a longtime Padre fan, I can see this scenario playing out. Buck Showalter gets hired as the next manager per Machado's request. Then Skip Schumacher gets hired as a manager for another team, probably in the same division. He goes on to lead that team to the World Series while Buck Showalter flames out. Don't have a lot of confidence in them getting this one right.
Except you said same division, though, for Skip Schumacher. I don't think there's an opening because every single...
There might be a division. There might be one.
You never know, but
check
I can't
back with
imagine,
me in about 5 hours.
I know, but I can't imagine that would be the fit.
And plus, Manny's input on managers are above his pay grade, so he's not talking.
Yeah,
he's
he has nothing to do with the construction of the coaching
staff.
Dude,
he's just there to play baseball.
Yeah.
Bet you they don't go down that road again. Make that mistake once where you try to cater to somebody in the clubhouse and it didn't work. 858, as a retired college instructor, I know that I like Marty's notes because it represents well that she is a good student of football and she shares her knowledge enthusiastically, which inspires our interest. Go, Marty. Darren, recite it with grace. 619 number, Marty, you just had a hacksaw moment. Bell scored. I watched him run untouched into the end zone.
No, but they did also just sign him. I need to check how they're doing the transactions because he was signed from the practice squad Saturday. He was active Sunday, and then he was signed to the active roster again today. So I'm a little bit confused on this.
619, want to be bombarded with sports news? Then join us for Marty's Sports Crop Dust segment. Jeez. 619, are you guys going to College Game Day with SDSU signs this weekend at UCLA? I am not. I'm going to pass on that opportunity. 619, I just found out that Jim hates the Lakers. You suck, Tim.
Sorry, not sorry.
858, I like how the Snagglepuss text went right over Millennial Jim's head. Are you a millennial? Yeah, you are a millennial, aren't you? Yeah. 619, go Dodgers. 760 number, speaking of Mexican food, the border's going to open up to non-essential travel on November 8th. Vamos! Vamanos! Yeah, because Lord knows non-essential travel was just prevented from crossing that border for the last 20 months.
Go get that chalupa.
Nobody could get across at all.
Give me a chalupa!
Nobody was able to cross the border for the last 20 months at all. Not to go wine tasting in Valle de Guadalupe, nothing. I mean, you couldn't do any of that stuff. And then a 619 number, because we didn't read these texts, just referred to us as chickens. So I'll wear that. I'll own that one.